morning, Region. Welcome to the Edison Community Watch Show. We thank Ryan for producing our show this morning, but we miss Gino. I sure hope that he's feeling better and wish him a speedy recovery. I am Janet Vinez, president of Edison Community Watch and councilwoman at large in the city of Hammond. Each month, we bring the message of community and crime watch to the region and why it's so important for each of us to be the eyes and ears of our neighborhood, and above all, call the police if you see anything suspicious or something that just doesn't seem right, because community is not just about me, it's about all of us. This month being Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and having heard so much about domestic violence in the news over the past few months, we thought it would be the perfect opportunity to talk a bit about domestic violence with teens. You're accustomed to hearing from Lisa Wine at Haven House, but our guest this morning is one of Lisa's colleagues, Miss Elena Ruiz from Haven House. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, Janet.
Welcome.
Thank you.
If anyone has any questions or comments, our phone number is 845-1100. So, Elena, tell me about your position at Haven House and how long you've worked there.
I am currently the volunteer and youth service coordinator for Haven House, meaning that I work more closely with the volunteers and the youth who reside at the shelter, and I've been there about 12 years.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a long time. Before we came on the air, we were talking about the Healthy Relationships Program.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Our Healthy Relationship Program is a preventative program, a prevention program, where we're talking to teens about their dating violence issues and just focusing on helping them know the right way to form healthy relationships, not just with their dating partners, but also with their peers and family members. We're just trying to give them some basics so that when they do begin dating, they are looking for the right things in people, how they want to be treated as opposed to how they are currently being treated.
Do you address relationships that are not necessarily a romantic type relationship?
We do. Naturally, we want to focus on their dating relationships, but we start with the basics. What are your relationships like with the people that you live with the people that you associate with? A lot of times we take those characteristics and we put them in the sphere of, this is how I want a dating partner to be with me. What things do we allow with our peers that we allow with our dating partners? Who draws the lines as to what's okay and what's not okay? We want to focus on all of those aspects.
So obviously everyone learns from their parents or the way
Yes.
they were raised.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we also have what I'm going to call the Cinderella syndrome, that, you know, we girls, when we are young, we watch TV and we see movies like Pretty Woman and Cinderella, even, for that matter. And we think, oh, someday my Prince Charming is going to come and sweep me off my feet. Do you see a lot of that in the relationships, and they kind of make the relationship more than what it really is?
Actually, I don't see that as much as I see a lot of, and what we're addressing more is the young women who go into relationships thinking that I don't need anybody to do anything for me. I'm going to do it myself. Mm-hmm. But I think when we get to that extreme, we're also cutting off we're missing something from the relationship. Relationships are supposed to be 50-50. We both give, we both take. And I think sometimes we get of the mindset that I want to be so independent, I want to be so me, I want to do for myself, that we forget that the dating partner is supposed to be there too. We're supposed to be allowing them to do a little bit for us and do for them as well.
And respect their wishes.
Yes.
and expect respect.
Exactly.
In return.
Mm-hmm.
What ages do you work with?
We focus primarily on the teenagers in the high school, but we've gone as young as fifth grade Okay. And we still
do. Which is what, about 10, 11?
Yeah, I would say about 10 mm-hmm. or 11 years old. Because I do have fifth graders who tell me, yes, we're dating and we're kissing and we're holding hands. And don't think that they understand. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that they understand what that means and what comes with it. Sometimes, and this is also from a perspective as a parent, when we avoid conversations about dating and relationships, we're leaving them to try and figure it out on their own. And okay. let's just be real about it. Kids are going to find out what they want to know.
Absolutely.
They have their peers who are going to tell them things. And why not just be that voice that says, okay, yes, it makes me uncomfortable, but let's sit down. Let's have a pop, or as my daughter says, I have to have my Coke next to me so we can have a conversation and just get it out there. And yes, it's going to embarrass us. And yes, we don't want to have this conversation, because who really wants to talk to their 10-year-old about dating? But if we're not going to start that conversation, someone else is going to, and they're going to get information, whether it's wrong or whether it's right, they're going to get it. Mm-hmm. Let's give it to them in a positive way so that they know what to do with it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Edison Community Watch Show on WJOB, and our guest this morning is Elena Ruiz from Haven House. We're talking about teen dating. Now, I know that you visit schools in the area.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the schools that you have visited?
We are currently working with Hammond High, Gavitt, and Morton High School. In the past, we've visited East Chicago Central High School. We mm-hmm. have visited Whiting High School. We've visited Whiting Middle School. We've been to Highland High School. It's been a little while, but we've been there as well. We also go to community centers and church teen groups. It's pretty much wherever we're invited to come in and speak, because we want to spread the message as far and as wide as we possibly can. We want to talk to them about forming these healthy relationships, because when women come into the shelter for services, some of the things that they tell us is that they've been in a relationship with this abuser or abusive person since they were young, since they were in high school.
Okay.
Maybe, just maybe, if they had gotten information about forming healthy relationships and about respect and about communication and about limits and boundaries, maybe they would not have ended up in our shelter. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's to say for sure? But all we can do is go out there and talk to the students and let them know it doesn't have to be negative. There are supposed to be good things about being in relationships. It's supposed to be positive. It's not without conflict. Every mm-hmm. relationship has conflict. It's how you deal with that conflict that determines what type of relationship you're going to have.
Okay. Okay. Now, you mentioned before that sometimes it's uncomfortable to these conversations with our teenagers. How do the teachers and the administrators at the schools receive you? Because I imagine even though mm-hmm. they are trained professionals, mm-hmm. as you are, to have a conversation of mm-hmm. this nature or be involved in such a conversation mm-hmm. might be a little bit unnerving for
yes.
some.
I won't say that it's always been 100% acceptance with our program. We have hit our roadblocks. Some of the things that I have been instructed by administrators is, you know, not to talk so much about sex or sex education, which I do remind them we don't do with the high school students and the college students. Where we talk about sex, it's not so much, oh yes, go have sex. It's more, this is what sexual abuse is. This is what sexual harassment is, so that you recognize the signs and that you're able to report it and, in some cases, help someone who may have experienced that. So there are some things that they like us not to go over with the students, especially with the junior high students, because they feel that, well, maybe they're just not quite ready yet. And so I won't exactly go into topics where they would like us not to go. I will kind of gloss over it, but at the same time, I let everyone know that if a student has a particular question for me, I'm going to do my best to answer it within the limits, sure.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Back a couple of years ago, My husband was involved in a skit that Lisa put on.
Oh, yes.
And it was about domestic violence in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And they put this skit on at some of the schools.
Yes.
And the question was asked, how many of you in the audience have seen or experienced domestic violence? And it was astounding to see
how many
right.
Yeah.
And I think by perhaps them seeing that skit, they recognized it for what it is, and they may have not known that it had a name before.
Yes.
When you're raised in that environment, you think it's normal and you think it's okay. So when you talk to the young people, how do they receive you?
The program that I'm doing now with the three schools that I mentioned earlier, we're in there for 4 days, and we start off. Our first day is usually pretty rocky. They're not exactly sure what to expect from me. I'm not exactly sure what to expect from them, because I will be honest, I learn something from them every time I go into school. But what we do is we do icebreakers. We do a game that I have is called Dating Bingo, where we talk about the different characteristics of dating partners. And, you know, it opens discussion. Well, why do they only include these characteristics? Why don't we include this? Why don't we include that? And it just, it opens the door for them to see that I'm not judging them, that I'm willing to listen to what they have to say. And usually by the end of that first class, they're willing to listen. Maybe not 100%, but they're willing to listen to what I have to say.
How long is the class?
It depends. Some of the classes that I go to, like when I was at Gavitt last year, the class was about 45 to maybe 50 minutes long.
Okay.
They're shorter classes because they have more that they do in a day. And at the high school, it's usually about hour 10, hour 15, depending on which high school I'm at.
Okay. I misunderstood. Mm-hmm. I thought that there were, my goodness, the work being done on the roof here. Whoa. I misunderstood. I thought that a student would be in four consecutive sessions, but
it's not one class. We go, for instance, I might start on Tuesday and I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
And so we do different parts because there's so much that goes with healthy relationships, and we try to incorporate it as much as we can. I do other schools or other programs. It's usually, you know, just one, and then I will give them the topics and they can choose from what they would like us to, you know, to discuss at that moment, because it's just impossible to get everything in an hour. And then what we do is we break it up. The first day, for instance, the way we have it formatted right now, the first day we're doing icebreakers. We're just talking about dating characteristics. We might go over the myths and facts of dating abuse, because I'm always astounded at what people's opinions are about dating abuse. And then we go into discussing some of the positive aspects. And that's usually what we follow up with the next day is forming healthy relationships. What things are we looking for? What, you know, like respect and the communication and how important that is to building just building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about, okay, well, if this is what we want, then we need to know what we don't want. And what is that? You know, what is domestic violence? Because I can say domestic violence and people are just going to instantly think of physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, abuse relationships start emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
They start as emotionally abusive. And that's what a lot of the kids don't understand at first, is how the way we say things to one another, the way we treat one another, speaks volumes as to where that relationship is headed, whether it be a friend relationship or a dating relationship.
I see. You're listening to the Edison Community Watch Show on WJOB, and our guest this morning is Elena Ruiz from Haven House. And we're talking about respect with regard to dating and relationships. And And my question is, do the kids have a clear grasp on what respect is?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Because what they want, what they understand as respect is not exactly where I am as far as what respect is. Mm-hmm. But you're looking at a huge generation gap there.
Sure.
I mean, these students are the ages of some of my kids. So mm-hmm. it's, okay, well, she, you know, this is her opinion. Yet, I try to convey to them, not just for me, but for them, how they should receive respect and what it means. A lot of times we will talk about how far is too far when we get to pushing and shoving each other, what's considered a joke and what is not. Mm. And they laugh at me when I say there should be no pushing and shoving, that not even amongst friends. Well, why not? Because you are not opening a door, but are opening a door as to what you were willing to accept. Mm-hmm. Why would your dating partner think it's not okay to shove you if you do it with your friends?
Mm-hmm.
And how that can lead to discussions that you may not want to have. Whereas if you say from the beginning, okay, no, hands off, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it's not a big deal. It's, you know, we're not hurting right. each other.
Right.
But you are. So sometimes I'm able to convey that and they get it. And sometimes they're just, no matter what I say,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, that's not how they feel about it.
Right.
So
right.
it's kind of like a win-lose situation sometimes.
Right, right. Where do you get your funding for this program?
Geminis funds our grant for this.
Oh, okay.
Yes. They are fabulous people. They
sure.
are really good at helping us. There were a couple of years ago, I hit a wall roadblock, whatever you'd like to call it, about trying to put our message out into some of the other schools, and they were really good about trying to draw some contacts for us, people who we can get in touch with and communicate what we're doing with our program to see if we can reach some of the other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Haven House is based in Hammond, and so, yes, it's one of our primary focus areas, but technically we have six communities that we
sure.
service,
sure.
and I would like to see our program in more of the schools. We'll just keep trying.
How many students do you think you've reached since the beginning of this?
I've had
you've
to
been
think
with Haven
that.
House 12 years?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's been more than 5,000 students, and that's
terrific.
Just based on where we've been keeping count. We didn't just start this program with the grant from Geminis. We had been doing it off and on.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this, this just allowed us to be able to go out and do more than mm-hmm. what we were already doing. So it's been a while, and it was there were individuals that were there before me that were doing it. And, you know, they had gone to Bishop Knoll, and they had gone to some of the other Hammond schools and gone to East Chicago. And we just try to keep building on those relationships that we have with those school communities and keep building on what we're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I want to say it's working. I want to say it's working out.
Well, even, you know, it's... I remember a conversation I had with my dad once. This was not all that long ago. And I said to him, well, Dad, you know, it's like you always said, whatever, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
and he started laughing, and I said, what's so funny? He said, I never thought you kids listened to me. So that's kind of mm-hmm. the way it is with this message.
Mm-hmm.
If our children hear respect over and over and over again, they will grasp the
mm-hmm.
concept, and at some point in their life, if they are involved in some type of dating or domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
they're going to say, wait a minute.
Right.
It's not supposed to be like this.
And that's always our hope. And I always say that no matter how many students we try to reach, if we reach a handful, then we have succeeded. And amazingly enough, I will have students that I may not have seen in years and probably don't remember them because we work with so many, and will come up and say, you're that lady from Haven House. And I'm like, oh somebody yeah. was listening.
Right, right.
The other day I was at Party City shopping for costumes for my daughters, and I had a student come to me, you're that lady from Haven House. I remember you from Hammond High. I'm like, okay. And I said, do you remember what? He goes, I remember the dating bingo game, and I remember that, you know, you talked to us about these different things. He goes, and I remember you gave out gift cards. I'm like, oh, well, I did my job.
The
Yay.
Gift cards
the gift
they
cards.
Remember.
Yes.
Yeah, that's first and foremost. Well, now you said that you talked to some of the girls who, or teens, who come with their parent into Haven House.
Yes.
And what role do the parents play in your conversation with the teens? Obviously, at Haven House, it would be a much closer conversation, but, you know, extending beyond that, when you have conversations with students at some of the schools, do any of the parents ever contact you with that?
I've had a couple of, well, about a handful of parents over the years who may have contacted us or contacted the school, so to speak, about, you know, they are sometimes not appreciative of the message that we give. And I think it's because they don't fully understand what we're trying to do. Hammond High is one of the schools where they had a parent meeting and they invited us to come out and they said, can you please explain, you know, what the program that you do with the students, you know, so this way the parents can ask and answer questions. And it was really positive experience because they saw that we weren't promoting. See, and I think that's the misconception. People think, well, if you're talking about dating, then you're promoting our kids to date. And, you know, we've set guidelines and we've set standards. And I never go against that. As a matter of fact, when I'm asked by the students, well, you know, you say we shouldn't be dating or we should be dating, how old? And I say, have that conversation with your parent. It's not for me to decide. Because if it were up to me, you guys wouldn't be dating until you're in your 30s.
Right.
What? I'm like, yes, because you learn so much along the way, and you are not going to be the person you are at 30 that you are right now. Your experiences shape the person that you're going to be. And so I think that that's a conversation they need to have with their parent. But I think the parents sometimes have a misconception of what it is we do. So I encourage parents to, if you have questions, call us or come sit in on one of the meetings that we do with the students. I know that they allow parent visitors and volunteers. So come in when we're there. Come check out what we're doing. Come ask your questions. This way you feel more comfortable about the information that we're giving the students. Because it's not always... like I said, it's not always received well by parents because they're not sure of the message that we're giving. So come on in and check it out when we're there. Mm-hmm. We welcome it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that whole scenario is kind of like, it is being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen first to find out what everything is about before you act on it.
Exactly.
You're listening to the Edison Community Watch Show on WJOB. If anyone has any questions, our number is 845-1100. I understand our time is running a little bit short. So you are at Haven House every day?
I'm there 5 days a week.
Okay.
I'm actually there weekdays. With the exception of Thursdays, but I'm also there on Saturdays.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you are pretty much on staff to counsel or speak to some of the residents who come in.
Yes.
And okay. Have you ever had the experience of the child being, I guess, I don't want to say abused, because that's not the right word, but is there any physicality towards the child in the house when you bring residents in?
We've had our instances, our moments of where there has been abusive tendencies by that parent towards the child.
Okay.
And issues that we've had to address. We are not always quick to condemn or put someone down. We understand that they're experiencing things, things that we couldn't possibly comprehend without being in their situation. So it's not our, that's not our moment to, oh, well, you're a bad parent, you're a terrible person. It's, you need some assistance. Let's mm-hmm. get it for you. Mm-hmm. We want to try to come from that perspective as well while keeping that child safe.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see. Well, Elena, thank you for all that you do for our, we have a caller. I'm sorry. Good morning, Phil. You're on WJOB.
Is there ever a case when the child is the abuser to the parent?
Yes, we have experienced that in the past as well, mostly with adult children with their parents becoming okay. abusive, but situations where mom coming into shelter, she's asking us to if she can come in, but, oh, my abuser is my teenager. Those are always very tricky situations for us because we can't, when we bring someone in, we bring their children in with them. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those situations, well, what do we do with this? And to be quite honest, I defer that to my supervisors as how we're going to handle this. But yes, we've had those situations.
Thank you for the good work you do.
Oh, thank you.
And Elena, I echo that sentiment. I thank you for coming in this morning. I thank you for caring about our young people.
Well, thank you for
having
me.
And getting your message out there. We really appreciate it. Elena, as a matter of fact, has been a guest at the Edison Community Watch meeting. And I guess our listening audience has kind of figured out that our meetings are not just about crime, but neighborhood safety as well. We try to give our audience as much information as we can about safety, protection, and community. Our next meeting was originally scheduled for November 5th, and it has been canceled due to a scheduling conflict. So the next meeting of Edison Community Watch will be Wednesday, December 3rd at Edison School at 6:30 p.m. If you would like a list of Community and Crime Watch meetings, you can visit edisoncommunitywatch.com or hammondcrimewatch.com. We ask the region to think about us and not just me and attend a Crime Watch or community meeting in your neighborhood. It's only through our combined efforts that we can affect change. Thank you all and talk to you next month.